Call BBC Radio Merseyside.
0151 709 9333. Now at 22 minutes past three on the summer Saturday here on BBC Radio Merseyside, I want you to picture the scene. A majestic wooden longship cutting through the waves, Blackbeard and Bluetooth on board, setting sail, ready to take on another country. Of course, talking about the history's favourite villains in the Vikings. And to be a fierce as a Viking, you need the right ride as well. Well, now your chance has come to check out how the Vikings travelled as the world's largest reconstructed Viking ship is heading towards our shores. The huge vessel, whose name translates as, is it Harald of the Fair Hair? We'll talk more about that in a second, after Norway's most favourite or famous Viking king will come to Westfloat in Wallasey. In true Viking style, it's taken a fair few knocks on its journey from Norway, but will continue its fearless voyage to Westfloat here in our shores. Joining me now in the studio are Viking expert Professor Stephen Harding, Jim Bibby and Heather Parry from the Victoria Rowing Club. And we'll talk more about the rowing club in a second. But if you want to just come forward, guys, to the microphones, just to welcome you, first of all, on Summer Saturday. First of all, just to talk to us a bit more about the ship itself, Stephen.
Yes, it's obviously great for Merseyside. This thing is coming to us. It's the largest ever reconstructed longship, as you point out, Helen, at 35 metres long. That's about half the size of a football pitch. So it's enormous. And when it's rowed, it would take 100 people to row it. It's got 25 pairs of oars, two men or women to an oar. So it's absolutely huge. So it's a great honour that they've chosen Merseyside and the Wirral for their first overseas maiden voyage. Although the voyage is turning out to be a saga in its own right, because you probably heard on the news that the mast snapped off outside the Shetland Isles last Friday. But it's on its way still, minus the mast, and it's the great news is that they're going to come here, and all being well, we should be able to repair the mast for them and set them.
Sure. And talk to us about the background to the idea then. How did it come about?
Well, it came about before the last World Cup, actually. We were over there in Norway DNA testing, and one of the people who were helping us get volunteers, we're doing a genetic profile of old Norway, was a man called Sigurd Aase, a very wealthy businessman, Norway's Richard Branson, if you like. And while we were doing this, he showed us this boat he was building. Come look at this. And we were absolutely staggered. And I said to Sigurd, well, look, you know, when it's finished, why don't you bring it over to Merseyside, because it's steeped full of Viking tradition here with all the place names and everything else. And he said yes. So 4 years on, it's coming, albeit minus the mast. So I think it's great. I think it's really exciting.
Fantastic. And also joining us is Jim and Heather from the Liverpool Victoria Rowing Club. How are you guys supporting and taking part?
Well, we've been training our Viking volunteers. We started training about 3 years ago through Heather and her team. And these are some our existing experienced oarsmen, but they're used to obviously rowing fine Oxford and Cambridge type boats, not fixed seats blades, which are 7.9 metres long and made of solid oak. So they've been trained in pulling boats provided by our local sea cadet unit at TS Astute, and they've also been undergoing sort of fitness training in the gyms to make sure that we don't have any pulled muscles. And the climax of all this was actually they were invited to Norway last year, and 54 of our volunteers went to actually row the vessel in a annual Nordic event which happened over there, and they were joined by other Norwegian volunteers and actually took the Dragon out with 100 people rowing it, which was quite an experience for them. And now everyone is looking forward to when it comes here. But
fantastic.
At the moment, it's really down to when Bourne, the captain, arrives and his team evaluates how long it's going to take to basically turn a tree, which is being sourced from Scotland as we speak, and turn it into a mast. And he's got his shipwrights working on that as we speak.
And Heather, talk to us about the rowing kind of technique. Is it a different type of style for this vessel than a normal kind of what you're used to?
It absolutely is. It doesn't bear any resemblance to the kind of rowing that we do at all. As Jim said, we do sort of Oxford and Cambridge style of rowing, which is sliding seats, everything's lightweight carbon. We've had to adapt what we do to try and give the non-rowing volunteers some idea of how it's going to be. It's rock over rowing, it's all upper body, it's arms, there's two people on an oar, so you have to coordinate yourselves and your movements with each other as well as the person in front. So going to Norway last year was such an eye-opener. We thought we had an idea of what to do, but we actually had no idea at all. But now, having learned that, we can now teach and train the volunteers who are still available. A lot have had to drop out because life moves on. So we've had to adapt what we now teach them.
And I'm sure that when the vessel arrives, is it the 18th July?
Friday the 18th. Yeah.
And obviously for the arrival then, what happens then? How can the public kind of come and watch and stuff?
Well, at the moment, the best place is obviously from New Brighton. And at the moment, subject to sea conditions and everything else, she'll be arriving off Fort Perch Rock at around about 9 a.m. And then she'll make her way slowly up the Wallasey side from New Brighton down to Egremont, down to Woodside, well, Seacombe Ferry, Woodside. And the plan then is to turn at Woodside, come across, and hopefully get as close as possible to the International Cruise Terminal, where she may be allowed to moor up. It depends. The Princeton Dam, the big German cruise ship, is due in on Friday. But she must be across at the Alfred Lock on the Birkenhead side by 12 noon, because the tide is 4:30 in the afternoon and the captain wants to be inside the lock, nice and safe, before the tide starts coming in. So the best place is anyone on the Wallasey side, you know, from
to get a good view,
New Brighton down to Woodside.
And Steve, what does it mean to you?
It's a dream come true, really. Unbelievable. And, of course, when the boat is fixed, hopefully it'll be open for public visits. And I think it'll be even more spectacular when it leaves with its mast and sail. It really will be a fantastic
sight. And is that back to Norway?
It goes back to Norway.
Fantastic. And so for people to find out more, have you got like a blogger maybe? Have you got like some information on the website?
At the moment, we're waiting for information to come through from Norway. There's a team in Norway who are monitoring what's going on. And then once they give us the nod, we will release onto the Wirrabooka Council website, because they're waiting for us to tell them what's going on. And then there'll be a link through to our website, which will give people up-to-date information. And if we're going to be able to take people on board, we've got an online booking system, because we can't have too many people on board at once. It's not a naval ship coming in, everyone queues up and goes on one end and comes out the other. She just doesn't lend herself to that at all. So we've got a pre-booking system, which we'll hopefully be able to open that pre-booking system as soon as we hear from the Norwegian team. And then we can control what goes on, and people will be able to actually go on board and step on this bit of history.
And what will the guys be wearing?
Well, they'll all be boringly wearing professional sailing outfits.
Right. They won't have the kind of a Viking kind of rig or anything, you know.
Only when the ship leaves, she's scheduled to leave us on the 3rd of August at 10:30 in the morning. And what we have asked is the local Viking reenactment group are going to get dressed up, about 30 of them, in suitable attire to come and wave off the ship and play various sort of musical instruments to see them leave the West Float.
That's sort of guard of honour, as it
were. Guard of honour, yeah.
And are you excited, Heather, as well?
Absolutely. We just never thought that this would ever happen. Last year, we went to Norway and we thought, well, at least we went. We went on the ship, we rowed it. That's the end of it. We'll never see it again now. It was such a bolt out the blue when we were told it was on its way again. Fantastic.
We had a great time last year, didn't we?
We did. It was fantastic. And the weather was so kind, so it was beautiful.
Yeah. Fantastic. And finally, Jim, just give us those times again then for Friday.
Right, Friday the 18th, 9 o'clock in the morning, she should be off Fort Perch Rock. And then she'll move up the Wallasey side of the river, New Brighton, Egremont Ferry, Seacombe Ferry, Woodside. Should be Woodside, I think, probably round about 11 o'clock-ish. Then she'll turn, go over to Liverpool and stop as close as she can to the International Cruise Terminal. But she'll have to be leaving and into the Alfred Lock on the Birkenhead side again by 12 noon. So it's a fairly tight window. But that's just the way with the tides and everything else.
But a great thing to pencil in the diary if you've got any family or friends visiting and some sightseeing to be had on Friday. I'm going to have to leave it there, guys, but many thanks for coming in today.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Okay.
And say good luck to Jim Bibby. Thank you also to Heather Perry from the Liverpool Victoria Rowing Club and also Viking expert. He's on my speed dial for phone a friend for those Viking questions should they come up. Professor Stephen Harding as well. Hopefully it goes well on Friday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All the best.